picture.
And it could be, can be flexible.
Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. When I prosperous, I said nothing can stop me now. You favor, O Lord, made me secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me, and I was shattered. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die? If I sink into the grave, can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Savior, by your shepherd, lead us, watch me.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for bringing us together around thy word in fellowship, and pray that you would bless our time here this morning. Open the word to the speaker. Open the ears of all the listeners here this morning, and strengthen each one of us. Open our hearts to what you would have each one of us to know and to do with our lives. And strengthen each of us. Each of us has our different weaknesses and struggles, and also each of us has our strengths and our abilities, and we pray that you would use our lives to thy glory, and pray for especially those who are struggling. Many are sick. Different ways, some of us in body, some in our minds, and some in other ways. Sometimes we don't even know what we need. We don't even know what our weaknesses are ourselves, but you know all things, Lord, and you can use us and you can work in us in spite of our human weakness. Pray for those around the world who have not heard about Jesus yet, those who have heard but have not yet believed. Pray that many would still come to saving knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ. That is our only hope, really, beyond this world. And with that hope in Jesus, the things of this earth, they, as the song says, they dim and lose their value. For people who don't have hope beyond this world, there's a lot of fear and people jockeying for power all around us, and trying to get as much money and whatnot as they can. But then they're afraid to die because they have no hope beyond this world. And pray that our lives would be a light in this world, that people could see that there's something bigger and with more hope than what this world has to offer, and that is found in Jesus Christ. And now let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you. May the grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you by God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the indwelling Holy Spirit on this day and hour of worship. Amen. If we can take our Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 43. And we'll read verses 1 to 12, and we'll probably look into 18 to 21 as well. That's Isaiah 43, 1 to 12, and we'll read it in Jesus' name. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will go to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Who among them can declare this and shew us former things? Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let him bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have shewed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. In this chapter, Isaiah the prophet is basically explaining to a people that he calls Jacob at first, which is the old, if you look at from the name itself, the old trickster Jacob, the one that deceitfully received his blessing. Or the old self, the old man, the way that you were. You could look at it that way. And that he formed thee, O Israel. There's two different names here. It's the old man compared to the new man. Jacob the trickster to Jacob the trusting servant. And at the same time, it's a time in the history of the church, in Israel, where at this point in time, when Isaiah is writing this book, they're struggling with God himself. They're struggling with the idea of God, and they're looking back at the past of crossing the Red Sea, and things like that are being brought up, and basically, when we look at this chapter, it seems like the children here are kind of getting weary of God and God's advice and God's knowledge and God's wisdom. And God is reminding them who they are and what they are, individually and as a nation. So we're reading this, we're looking at that. If I was to title this chapter, I would say, God promises, what God promises during affliction. The change affliction creates in a believer and the hope of a better future with Christ as King and Lord in our heart. That's what I would say this chapter would be titled if I was to title it. And from an individual point of view is, you were once this as the old man, and you are now once this as the new man. You have a different name. God has given you a different name in his kingdom. He gave Jacob the name Israel. If we look in 32 of Genesis, we just look at this incident where Jacob, the person, is given this name, and what was he going through? At that time, he was worried about being defeated by his brother. He had already spent the years in Laban's place and served him. Jacob had asked for all his cattle and all his family back, and he was heading back home. We've got to remember that his mother had said to him, "You should go to Laban, my brother, and spend time with him because Esau is going to kill you." That was his mother's advice. So his mother told Isaac that I don't want my son to marry within unequally yoked people, so I'm going to send him to I would like to send him to Laban, my brother. And Isaac said, sure, I'll talk to him. And he did. And he sent him away to Laban. And we all know the story of Rachel. He's the one he met in the field who was feeding the animals at the well. And he instantly fell in love with Rachel. And then he served him 7 years. He served Laban, his father, 7 years. And then he was deceitfully used kind of by Laban and said, well, Laban said he would marry Rachel, and he didn't marry Rachel. He married Rachel's sister, the older one. And then he served Laban 7 more years and then another 7 years. So 21 years he's with him. Now he's heading back home. But he's afraid because it's been 21 years since he's seen Esau. And he's afraid for his life. So what happens in this 32nd chapter, the 24th verse. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled the man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there, and Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him and halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of his thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew and shrank. This is where Jacob receives the blessing of God. And he has confidence to meet his brother Esau, and he has a lot less fear in meeting him because he understands that God, no matter what happens, God will provide for him and God will take care of him. So now he's not the same person. He's changed. He's gone from the person that's manipulative and trying to get a birthright to a person that's totally trusting in the sovereign God to provide for his life. So he's got a different name. And how does God do that? How does he provide for us? How does he change us? How does he make us so that we rely on him? Through trials and afflictions. Through the waters, through the rivers, through the fire. He says this in the next verse. He also says, O Israel, when he talks, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Why is Israel at this point fearing? This is the new man. Why is he fearing? Because of the trials and the difficulties of life. He's not looking back at the time where he met his brother Esau and hugged him in the field and everything was good. He's not looking at that. He's not looking at that. He's looking at what's in front of him. And the nation was the same. The nation of Israel was the same. They were following false gods, false idols, false ideologies. And they weren't looking at the author and finisher, the potter that forms them, the clay vessels that's created unto honor, that's molded in the likeness of his son. And that's why we fear during trials, because we look at our trial, we look at the situation we're in, we look at the difficulty that we've been put in front of us, and we're not looking at the Father who is molding us and making us into a better person, who's sanctifying us and creating us and making us into the image of his son. So when it says when thou passeth through the waters, I will be with thee, he's reassuring Israel here as a nation and individually, when you go through waters, I will be with you, and rivers, and they shall not overflow thee. You're not going to drown in this trial of life. You're not going to succumb to this difficulty. Why? Because your cup overflows. It runs over. Because God is gracious. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're walking through it. It's a shadow of death. But you recognize as Christians that Christ has defeated death, that you have a home in heaven, an assurance that you will be there through the work of the cross. I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee, and when they walk us through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So Jacob, who is now Israel, still struggles with the Jacob thinking. Still struggles with trials, still struggles with not believing in the clay, in the potter. Galatians 3:29 says something of this effect. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you belong to Christ, then you are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And you are joint heirs according to the promise that you will go home with him. You will be in heaven according to that promise. So it's difficult when we're going through trials and difficulties and things aren't going our way to not look to the promises of God. Because all we can see is the difficulty up that's in front of us. But the Christian understands that this is not our home. The Christian understands that there's a house, a home being prepared in heaven. And that's the focus. It says, the rivers, they shall not overflow thee, they walk us through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am thy Lord, thy God, the Holy One, the Savior. I gave up Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. What is God teaching? Israel, the nation. What is he teaching? The individual, Israel, us, the new man. The names of God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's the Holy One. He's the Creator. He's our King. Verse 4 and 5, God is explaining how he'll support Israel through conflict and trials as a nation. He'll also support us individually, that new man. Since thou wast precious in my sight, just stop there and think about it. You're created beautifully in the womb. God created you in the womb of the mother. Precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. You're precious, honorable, loved. Men will fight for you. Men will die for you. And our Lord did that. It says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed, the spiritual seed of Abraham, the chosen, the called, the sons and daughters of Christ, far from the east, and gather thee from the west. He's speaking to the northern and southern kingdoms at this point in time. He will gather them together as one. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. In Ephesians 1, it kind of says this, from 3 to 9. Blessed be the God, our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Why? Because he's presenting the bride to a bridegroom that is worthy. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation and the fullness of times he might gather together in one all that are in all things in Christ. All things meaning all the ones that are called that will believe in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. So we have the spiritual seed of the nation of Israel and the northern and southern kingdoms being brought together. We've got to understand that this time, historically, they were getting tired of God. The people were getting tired of God. They were waiting, and they were looking in the past of what happened in the past. And God says this, even in the 14th verse here, it says, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans and whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse and the army of power. They shall lie down together and shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched. They are quenched as tow. So God is saying even in 18, it says, remember ye the former things, neither consider the things of old. So he's saying, remember ye the former things, and then he's saying, neither consider the things of old. Remember your name, Jacob, the way you were. Remember the old man, the way you were. But he's saying, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, ye shall not know it. I will make a way of in the wilderness, the rivers in the desert. This is 18 and 19 of this chapter. What's the new thing? Speaking of Christ, the new man, the new way, Christ the Redeemer, who will come, lay down his life for his children who believe. Your sins will be imputed to him, his righteousness imputed to you. The sins will be removed as far as the east is from the west. There's a hope. There's a hope here that we hope for. A kingdom that is coming. Heaven to gain. But there was a problem. We had a lot of people forming their own gods in their minds. God is a jealous God. That's what the Bible says. Sometimes people don't like that. So they take that and say, well, that can't mean what it says. That really can't mean what it says. It does. God is a jealous God, so that he will go from every part and turn over every table and destroy everything in its path to get his chosen to see him. He'll put every obstacle in the path, every way, so that they make the right choice. Because he's a jealous God, and he's chosen you before the foundation of the world. And not 99.99, but 100% of the ones that he called before the foundation of the world will be in heaven. Why? Not because we believe. That's part of it. Because he's called us, and he's going to present to his son a bride that is pure, holy, and blameless. You and me. He's going to put things in your way so that you make the right choices. He's going to remove things out of your way so that you follow the path of righteousness. So we have here people forming gods in their image. And this is why it's so important when he says, I will say to the north, give up, and the south, keep not back. Bring the sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Matthew chapter 11, 2-6. And this is speaking of John the Baptist. He was in prison. He was going to be beheaded. He was going to die soon. He told his disciples, go talk to Christ. Find out if I have some doubts here. He's saying, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which you do hear and do see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because the power of salvation, power of God unto salvation. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. But this is he of whom is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare a way, thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And he says, And from that day, John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the laws prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears, let him hear. So we have here in Isaiah, chosen vessels of God that have ears to hear. Eyes to see. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him, this is the seventh, for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, rather I have made him. Why is he saying, I have formed him and have made him? Because later on he says, in the 10th verse, Ye are my witnesses, my ambassadors for Christ, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe him, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither will there be after me. God is not an image formed in man's or women's minds. God is a living God that was never formed, never created, was always the I am. God, the I am. He's always been. He's not somebody that you can create in your mind. He's the God of the Bible, the God of the Word. If you know the Word and you understand the Word through the Spirit, it's very difficult to form an idea of God in your mind, because you know the Word. It's very easy if you don't know the Word, because you create a God in your own image. And this is what the problem that were happening here. They were worshiping gods that were formed with the hands, formed in the mind. And Isaiah is being reminded that no matter what happens, Isaiah is telling them, no matter what happens, you will be saved. Jacob, I will take you home, because you are now Israel. You have changed. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, It is truth. What is truth? See, the Christian knows what the truth is because of the proverb. Proverbs 22. The Christian has been given instruction in 17 to 21. Bow down thine ear, lean forward your ear so that you can hear. Hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing. If thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust might be in the Lord, may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have I not written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. The Christian knows the words of truth in the Word, because they read the Word, they have desire to read it, and they understand it. And when somebody comes to them and ask them a question about the truth, they have an answer. They have a response because they've read it. Why? Because we're ambassadors for Christ. Why? Because we've been called before the foundation of the world to be soldiers to the cross. Why? Because we have an armor, the armor of God that we wear. And every piece of that armor is worn with the prayer and supplication that how do I wear this and how does it apply to me physically, spiritually, and mentally? And how do I pray that this armor will work? Prayer is so important with that armor. So we are ambassadors for Christ. We are also brothers and sisters in Christ. And we recognize that as ambassadors for Christ and witnesses for Christ, that we have responsibilities to share the good news of the gospel, to witness to that gospel, to walk to walk and talk to talk. Not out of fear, but out of faith. Because we have the faith of Jesus Christ. So if we go on to this new way in 18 to 21, remember not the former things. You don't think of the past. Don't think of how you once were. Sometimes we tell stories back before I was born again. These are the things I did. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Why? Because I'm showing you a new thing, and it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What's he saying? Wilderness is dry, the desert is dry, but there's going to be waters, rivers running through it. When we have trials, when we have difficulties, the Christian understands that that's going to be part of the cream rising to the top, the impurities being taken away, the gold being pure, the stones being precious, the silver being clear and clean. We're being set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil for one reason. Because we are the bride. And we are perfect because of the work of the Father and because of the work of the cross. We have a Redeemer that redeems. Isaiah 43 to 11, what does it say? The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye a way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain hill shall be made low. What's he saying? It doesn't matter if I'm being blessed by God with multiple riches and celebrations or if I just lost my whole family like Job. It's flat. It's the same. I'm the son of a king. And I don't deserve to be. But because he has called me and chosen me, and I understand that trials and afflictions that Job had will come upon me. But those trials and afflictions are only to bring glory to God. And how does it bring glory to God? You are a sister and brother in Christ, the bride of Christ. And it doesn't matter if this mountain looks so high that you can't overcome it, or it's straight as can be and it's an easy walk. It's going to be the same because God is the one carrying you. He is the one bringing you through it. Why? Because you have to be made like Christ. Pure, holy, and blameless. And that is made through the work of the cross. So there's a desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. and the crooked made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up unto the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. God is in charge. Behold your God. Chapter 54 of Isaiah 4 and 5. I'll just read 5. For thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Jacob has a new name, Israel. We all have a new name once we've been born again and regenerated. We are not of the old man, we are of the new man. God is going to redeem us because he is our Lord, Savior, Redeemer. He's the Holy One, Creator, and our King. God has a responsibility to present the bride pure, holy, and blameless to his Son, who is worthy of a bride, who is pure, holy, and blameless. So we being presented. And God is convicting us during our trials and during our difficulties so that we'll be transformed from a sinner to a saint, to the perfect bride, to be presented to the bridegroom. This is the new thing. So God is not saying for us to remind us of the old past. We remember the old things of who we were, because we remember we were taken out of darkness and brought into his magnificent light to be his bride in his kingdom, because he has given us and has made us, it's already made, a home in heaven where we will live forever with him. In Jesus' name, we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these verses in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. We thank you for the new thing you are forming in us. We thank you that you have given us the plan of salvation through the work of the cross. We thank you for giving us trials and difficulties so that we can be refined into the perfect vessel of honor. And that vessel is to be the bride that is presented to the Son. And Father, we ask that you would continue presenting this bride individually, presenting them pure and blessed, to a son that is worthy, to a bridegroom that is worthy, to a son that died and rose again and conquered all, is waiting at the pearly gates for his bride to be presented, so we can look and be in awe of that bride, because that bride was formed and created in the image of him, but mostly given from the Father, who he loves. Father, thank you for convicting us during our trials. And thank you for giving us the joy and hope of salvation through the blood of the cross. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let's close with final hymn.